ever so proud of the women in this ministry. Ever so proud. Ever so proud because many of them, when they come in, I've seen them grow. Some change. Their mind change. I've seen them. And we know we have the typical Gateway Chapel. You know, we have a profile in this church. Every church has a profile. You know, the typical Gateway Chapel woman is a spiritual woman. It's humble, dedicated, hardworking, resilient. You know, they said you balance work and life, and they just doesn't exist. They do all they can possibly do. They're strong, strong, strong women. And I want to thank God for all the women in this church. And I thank God for your life. One of the things, it's because of the women we have in this church, we are able to boast of over 20 nationalities. You know, because God has handpicked every woman. And so if you are here as a woman and you are comfortable in this church, it's because God has chosen you to come and be a blessing to us. God has chosen you. God has called you. There's something special. Not everyone feels comfortable in our congregation just because of the way we do things. We are very open. It's a family church. And so we welcome everyone with open hands. I mean, do you hear what Mr. DJ said, Minister Bosun said? He said, I have never hugged anybody in this church and got a slap for it. That simply means that there are people who, yeah. So that means that we have secure women. People who are confident in themselves, they are secure in themselves, you know. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will empower all of you in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord. I want to read from Proverbs 31. And I know that it's a scripture that many of you know. But I want to read it as we continue our teaching on growth. We are teaching about growth. We are looking at fighting the forces that fight your growth. Fighting the forces that fight your growth, part two. But before we do that, our text is from Isaiah chapter 5. Our text is from Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. But I want to look at, take a supporting text from Proverbs 31, you know. And there are ladies, as I read this, I want you to see yourself within the context of this scripture. Yeah, I want you to see yourself. This is the way God has made you. Sometimes when we go through life, we go through so many things in life that sometimes life can want to make you feel less than God has called you to be. And so I want to use this scripture to encourage you. And I want to also use this scripture to encourage the men, Gateway Chapel men and men to be, boys and men. boys and men, right? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 31 from verse 10, it says, who can find a virtuous wife? One translation says, who can find a virtuous woman? Amen. Come on, say woman. Yeah. It says, for her worth is far above rubies. You can't put a price. And ladies, please hear this. Nobody can put a price on you. Yeah, you are priceless. Every woman is priceless. We cannot talk about generations without talking about the woman. And that's why I always warn my fellow married men that be very careful about the way you treat the wife that you have married. If you don't treat her very well, very soon you will be at a loss. Very soon you will be at a loss. And the Bible says the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Safely trusts her. It's trustworthy. So he will have no lack of gain. He will have no lack, no what? Lack of gain. That means that the woman brings profit. Woman brings profit. The women in the life of Jesus, they made the gospel profitable. They looked after the message. They made sure that, and that's why I don't joke with the women in our church, because God will use them to raise and produce the next generation. It's very interesting that Mayowa will sit here and read the scripture. You know, she was born here. Okay, not here, like here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We knew when she was born. And can you imagine that she stands here and she reads a piece of scripture? You know how proud I am? And the fact that she's reading the scripture gives me an idea as to what's going on at home. Yeah? So, and that's because she has a wonderful mother. Amen. So, and the Bible says here, she does him good and not evil. Mm-hmm. That means she has the capacity to do good and she has the capacity. Uh-huh. So is there only a foolish man that will be mucking around with his wife? Yeah? Yeah? There's nowhere God described the man that man has the capacity. He only says that the heart of man is very deep. That's the only thing that God said. Yeah? He said, but concerning the woman, he says, she does him good and not evil. So the capacity to dispense evil lies in therewith. You know? Yes, that's what I'm saying. See, and she doesn't need to do that. You know, you look at an ivy plant. An ivy plant is a very beautiful, creepy plant, right? But it can be very poisonous. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? So when you are a man, when you are married, and you don't know how to treat your wife very well, one day you'll be poisoned. Listen very carefully. No. Listen very carefully. There are so many men. Now, it's not the woman. She doesn't need to poison you. She does not need to poison you. There are so many men who don't know how to treat their wives. That's what I'm saying. If you don't treat your wife very well, you will end up with a loss. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why I advise young men, when they say they want to get married, I will ask them, are you sure you are able to drink out of this cup? Because marriage is not I finished university, check. I got a job, check. I bought a car, check. I've been qualified for a mortgage, check. I think I should marry. I should have to get married. Check. Ah, big problem. Just stay by yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stay by yourself. Because, you see, the Bible says here, it says she is like the merchant ships. Bring that up, let's so we can read that together. She is like a, next verse. She is like what? Look at this. Can I read that together? One, two, go. She is like the merchant ships. Mm-hmm. From afar. One person, ships, not one ship. Eh? Can you go back there? Go back, you can read it very well. So you can see what God has used to describe who is with you at home. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah? All this one, I just beating your chest like King Kong, like, you know, you don't have that kind of power. Let's be very honest. She is like the merchant. Do you know what a merchant ship is like? Do you know what the ship, if you want to look at what, if you want to understand what a merchant ship is like, one, go to Dover. Mm. You know what? A merchant ship is a cargo ship. Cargo. And they said, that little thing in your house, she is like. Yeah? So, if your head is not correct. Look. I am telling you, she is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. There is a grace she brings to your home that gives you the capacity to earn. Yes, sir. Let me say that slowly. There is a grace that she brings to your home that gives you the capacity to earn. The day you displace her, that day you displace income. There is nowhere in the Bible God describes a man as ships. Not talk about cargo ships. You know what cargo ships are? They carry goods. It means that the day you enthrone her and allow her to take her position, wealth comes to your home. Do you understand that? Wealth comes to your home. The woman is a gatekeeper. It's very interesting when you read on that scripture. The Bible says that she provides food for her household, a portion for her housemaid, and the only thing they said about her husband is that he sits at the gate because grace enabled him to sit at the gate. Do you understand? And that's why, ladies, you should never discount yourself. You should never allow life give you the labor that is not yours. You should never allow life give you the label that is not yours. Even if you are going through hell and high water, it does not remove who you are. Even if you are going through a challenging times, it does not remove what God has. It does not remove your profile. This is your profile, and you should be very confident in it. There is no one in the Bible that God has described that is like a merchant ship that brings goods, that is graced so much that she has the capacity to bring good to those around them. Only the woman and a great wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's why as we progress in our message about growth, I want to challenge every woman here to grow. And please switch off your phone. Who's off your phone? Right? I want to challenge every woman here to grow. I want to challenge every woman here, a Gateway Chapel woman, to grow. You should grow in every area. Okay, apart from physically. You know, we have to check that one. I mean, you have to grow in every area, but not every area. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So I don't just want you to just get home and just be popping chocolates and popping biscuits and popping and say, how pastor said we should grow. Not like that. No. Yeah. So you need to grow. I want every woman to be confident. Be confident. And last but not the least, I want you to draw your confidence and self-esteem from what God says and not what any man says. As you draw your confidence from what God says and not what any man says. Your confidence should come from your source, and your source is God. I have seen so many great women crash because they rely on one man for self-esteem. Do you understand? I've seen so many women crash. They lose their identity because they rely on one man to be their source of confidence. No. That's suicide. That is suicide. I want you to be strong. I want you to, you see, when we were about to get married many years ago, someone was asking that, what are the two things that you love about your wife? I said that I want my wife to be able to stand on her two feet. I don't want her to lean on me. I will make the investment. Whatever I know, I want to make sure she knows. I said, because when life comes, right, if I want to run, I want to make sure that she's running with me, that I don't have to carry her. You see, that's why our journey is always quick and fast, because I don't have to carry her. If I know A, I make sure she knows A. If I know B, I make sure she knows D. I will always provide the infrastructure to ensure that she stands on her two feet so we can run together. Do you understand? And so as a married man, you must pay attention to your wife. Any married man who does not pay attention to his wife and enthrone her the way God has enthroned her, it's only a matter of time he will crash. But you, my dear lady, I want you to be confident in yourself. I want you to be hardworking. I want you to grow in every area. Grow in every area, because growth is beautiful. Growth is exciting. In fact, because you are not growing, that's why that man is saying what say the nonsense he's saying. But grow. Many years ago, somebody came to me and said, my husband. I said, my friend. I said, leave your husband for a second. Just do what I ask you to do. And start growing. I said, when you grow, you become so attractive. You become so attractive that he will look at you and say, my goodness, what have I got here? Or what am I missing? And that was all it took for that marriage to turn around. I said, but the moment you try and treat him like the God that he's not, and I said, oh, without you, I won't leave. Says who? Says who? One lady came to me and had a master's program. Sorry, 2 years ago, master came and said, oh, my husband, he doesn't ask after me. My husband, he doesn't do this one. Hey, he doesn't provide my money. He doesn't provide my money. I said, what is the matter with you? I said, Your husband, He doesn't bring you money, I said, what if he's dead? Where is he dead? I said, are you telling me you went to school to get an MBA with first class honor only for you to come out depending on one bozo? What are you talking about? Is that what you are telling me? Is that what you are telling me right now? That I should forget who you are, forget your education, forget your experience, and here you are crying like a teenager? Because one man is not doing what he ought to do. I said, honey, step up. I said, step up. I said, you don't need this money. I said, why do you need this money? I said, Bible tells me that you equivalent to minimum one sheep. Minimum. One cargo load. You, inside you is one cargo. As I was talking, right? Initially, she was crying. I was like, you are one cargo load. As in fact, you are not one, you are two. Inside you, there are two, at least two cargo loads inside you. Show me the products, honey. Show me the products. She stepped out of the counseling room, and then she met Pastor Bola outside. Pastor Bola said, how are you? Say, I'm fine. I'm fine. Today, she has two businesses. Two businesses. Two businesses. And the husband can't stop chasing her. Hey, Pastor Eddie, it's happening. I said, we have not started yet. We have not started yet. Honey, get a grip. Get a grip. I don't expect my wife to draw her self-esteem from me. Get a grip. Get a grip. Darling, get a grip. You are stronger than you think. You are stronger than you think. But you have to grow. Your beauty will never come out until you grow. Your grace will never be released until you grow. You have to grow. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to grow. Don't play the victim. You don't need anybody. I'm telling you. God forbid if I go to heaven, well, you think she won't leave? She will leave. Right? There are people who don't have husbands and they are living. So be on, get on your 2 feet. Grow. But growth is not a gift. And so in this service, I want to show you, I told you last week, that if you don't grow, you become frustrated. You must grow. And I also told you that there are factors that make sure people don't grow. There are factors that ensure that people don't grow. And because it's Mother's Day, I want to just share a few of them with you, and then we'll continue next week, okay? There are factors that ensure, because growth is not a gift, but there are factors that ensure that you don't grow. Let's look at Joel chapter 2. And I want you to pay attention to these things. The Bible says in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, it says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. God wanted to punish his children. He sent them locusts. He sent them locusts to destroy the works of their hands. And as I was meditating upon this scripture, God ministered to me that if God can use locust, or what typifies a locust, to destroy the work of his hands of his children, don't you think the enemy also uses that same tactics? Don't you think so? And so the Bible said he sent, they disobeyed him, so he sent this locust into their harvest. In other words, while they were expecting a great harvest, they got there only to realize that because when you are far away from a field, you can never tell if a farmland is infested with locusts or not. When a farmland is infested with locusts, it means that that harvest can never be 100%. It means that farmer has labored in vain. It means that investment is a loss. And God said, he said, I sent them as a great army to eat up the leaves of your harvest, so that you will have labored for nothing. So also you find that the enemy also uses that same strategy. They will send what typifies locust. What is locust? Locust is that little thing, little tiny insect that invades a whole harvest and chew the leaves and tear up the leaves of those grains so that you cannot harvest anything meaningful. That's what harvest is. But I want to correct this here in this meeting, because when I'm saying locusts, I know you are, when I said they are anti-growth agents, right, which the Bible called locusts, I don't want you to think that it's your mother-in-law. Let's just remove your mother-in-law out of the picture. Yeah, I know, because some of you remember, I've seen a video from last, I say, hey, today I'm going to church. Pastor is going to talk about anti-growth agents. This spiritual wickedness that is dealing with me. Today my mother-in-law is finished. No. No, it's not. And let me show you why. In verse 26, the Bible says, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. Why? because he has removed the anti-growth agent. He has removed it. And so when God wants to bless you, he removes this anti-growth agent from you. That thing that makes your prayer life decline. That thing that makes your discipleship weak. That thing that makes you not have a healthy family life. That thing that does not make you have a great career. That thing, it just eats up and invades your space. Invades your farmland. The harvest. But I want to share some things with you today, the things I consider as the locust in a man's life, in a woman's life, so as you pay attention to it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Number one, what can it be a locust? Not listening. Not listening. When locusts invade a farmland, you may not see it. Something like this tiny weevil insects. You go there expecting 100%, and you find there's nothing. I mean that they can be invisible to the eyes. They're so small, you don't pay attention to them. Not listening. Some people don't listen. It doesn't matter what you tell them, they will never take advice. They are just set, you know? They are just set in their ways. It's either God is dealing with you because your cup is full, or the enemy is attacking you, right? As a Christian. It's a locust. Not listening. Not taking counsel. Some people, it doesn't matter what you advise them, they will never listen. They will never take a counsel. This is how I'm going to do it. I have made up my mind. Anybody who speaks like that, if you are a man or a woman and you speak like that, I want you to know that perhaps you have a locust on your vineyard today. They don't listen to anybody. There are people who don't listen to nobody. I know men who don't listen to nobody. I know women, they don't look. They are the Alpha, they are the Omega. They are the beginning, they are the end. Their word is final. Their word is yes, their word is amen. For such people, what they have done is that they have enthroned themselves as Lord over their destiny. So God sent his army, the locust, to eat them up. They never listen. Do you understand? They always come across that they know what they are doing, but they don't. So not listening can be a locust. Stubborn-heartedness. Ah. And then you will cloak it with determination. Yeah. It's not determination. You don't listen. You don't listen. Where I come from, is a skill you must learn. The antis that God has given us, make sure that we learn it. When they train us on listening skills when growing up, they don't talk. No. There is an organ in the body for listening. They just help you exercise the organ by grabbing it. That's how. Don't listen. There are men who don't listen. There are women who don't listen. They're just stuck in their way. It's a locust. It means that if you are like that, you can never reap 100% because you are harboring locust in your field. So number one, not listening. Number two, not taking counsel. Nobody can advise them. Nobody. They don't have any. There are men, there's nobody that can tell them. Nope, at least after them, nobody. No, apart from God, no one above. There's no man that can say, hey, don't do that. And then they will change course. That's what I'm saying. There are people like that. Now, gentlemen, if you are like that, you are running a big risk. If you are listening to me right now, and there is no man in your heart that you have allowed to call you to order, you are just an accident waiting to happen. You are a landmine. It's only a matter of time. You are established, right, to take off the limbs of so many people. That's the truth. You are wild. And it is not leadership. It's not. You're just wild. Any man who thrives on only what he knows, right, he doesn't know anything. That's the fact of life. All right? Number three, not reading. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know you had an MBA 20 years ago, but not reading. What you know is not, so there's no room, for expansion. Not reading can be a low cost. You don't know enough to fuel your destiny. You don't know enough. As somebody said, you'll be where you are today, but for the you'll be where you are today in 5 years' time for the books you read, the people you meet, and the places you go to. Some people don't read. Some people don't read. They're just allergic. Every time they see a book, they just have rash all over them. Yeah. They will watch TV, watch everything. They can't. So training yourself to read. Train yourself to read at least a book a month. Train yourself to read. And then let your children watch you read. Train, I'm not talking about academic books. No. Forget academics. Yeah? Train yourself to read. Read a piece of literature. So that can be what? A low cost. Number four, fear. Fear. Fear can be a low cost. Fear can be. In fact, it is because of fear that men don't take counsel. Because of fear that men don't take advice. Fear is the spirit. Fear can poison your faith. So there are so many people who will never take one foot forward to do the things that God has laid in their heart to do because of fear. So fear can be a low cost. And when fear rules and reigns, you can never reap 100%. No, it can destroy your harvest. Do you understand? Fear. Next one is narrow-mindedness. Narrow-mindedness. Are so parochial. They are not just open to advice. They're just open to nothing. They are not open to anything. If that is you, assess yourself today because you may have a low cost in your life. They're not open to anything. They are not open to anything. They're not open to open to consideration. If I have something to do, my goal is to do that thing to solve that problem. And God can use anyone to solve that problem with me. God can use anyone. So I am very open. What do you think is one question I love to ask people around me? What do you think? I'm about to embark on this, or I am thinking about this. What do you think? Whether you are older, younger, it's irrelevant. What do you think? Is this the best way to go about this thing? Is there a better way? What do you think? Have an open mind. Some people's minds are closed. It doesn't matter. And so when you have a closed mind, you can never seize opportunity. When you have a closed mind, you can never seize opportunity. You can never try anything new when you have a closed mind. When you have a closed mind, opportunities will come and go. You can never seize the moment when you have a closed mind. So there are so many people, they have a closed mind, and then fear grips them. So you can just imagine, that person can never grow. That person, growth brings excitement. Growth brings, anything that has life grows. And so you must grow. You must break that thing. Find out, why am I afraid of this thing? And then challenge it. Closed-mindedness. Some people, comfort zone, that's another one. You know, what you know, you just stick to what you know. You know, one of the things, I love traveling. Well, at least I used to love traveling before I became a pastor. You know, now I don't have the privilege to go around to where I love to go around. Yeah. So I blame it on all of you. So, when we go out to some foreign nation, I want to try their food. But there are some of you here. If they allow you, you will take your local food along with you. There are some of you here. Have you seen such people, right? You land in Spain, they are looking for fish and chips. You're looking for English breakfast. How many of you do that? Yeah, exactly. What does that tell you about yourself? Right? I mean, the only thing you want to eat is a burger when you go away on holidays. Why must you eat burger? It's the same thing. You know, you see how we do at times, you land in a country, and I say, you know, I can't believe they don't speak English here. How many of you do that? Yeah. They say, I can't even believe. Nonsense. I can't believe they don't speak English here. They don't speak English. You see the problem? Yeah? Because you are so you're so boxed, cased by your comfort zone. So you go to a foreign country, you want to speak English and eat fish and chips. Does that make sense? So check your life. Check your life. I'm telling you, the world is here for us to impact. The world is here for us to lead. But we can never lead with the gospel if you don't grow. We can never lead if you are narrow-minded. You will never try something new. Many of you will never even dare try and change your career. Many of you will never dare try and learn a new skill to change your career. You won't. They give this opportunity to say, No. It's not. They say, somebody's making a million from this one. But it's not for me. Are you making a million from where you are? He said, no. Think about it. Yeah. Someone tells you, this guy just makes a million from this one every year. Say, do you want to try it? No. It's not for me. Oh, are you making a million from where you are? No. But what do you want to try it? No. Low cost. And there are people who are not curious. They're not curious. Someone can walk up to and say, I just bought a Ferrari and I just have a savings of half a million in my bank account. Where's the car now? I've seen people like that. And I've tested people like that. When last did someone showed you something you've never done before, right? And you asked, can you teach me to do that? When last did you do that? You wouldn't even finish. That night I'll be in your home. You cannot help me. You say, why? I said, because you are better. You are smarter. And you earn more than me. Can you help me? That's how I got to where I am. That's exactly where I am. I want you to audit your life and ensure there's no low cost eating you out. I need to audit your life with these things and ensure that there's no low cost eating you out. What is the low cost? Unfortunately, you have to realize it. What we fumigate low cost. You protect your land to ensure that there's nothing in your life that is eating your harvest. You have to. Next time you raise an objection to something, ask yourself, why am I raising an objection? Is this genuine or is this low cost? And sometimes we raise an objection, there's no tangible reason for raising that objection. And you yourself, you don't know why you are raising an objection. And then many will hide it under the other thing. I think God, don't bring God into this matter. If you want to think. I say, okay, God told you, say, so where's the scripture? I just feel. I say, there's no feeling in heaven. We don't feel. We lead by faith. Yes, next time you say, I feel like, aha, that's not from God. The just shall live by feelings. By faith, yeah, exactly. So where's your feelings from? Is that a low cost? Don't allow fear cripple you. Don't allow narrow-mindedness cripple you. Don't allow lack of mentor cripple you. Because you already know what you know, but you don't know what your neighbor knows. Are you listening? Right to your feet and let us pray.